I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
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 You gotta love those guys.
Not unlike opening day, we've decided to do a late edition of the Touché. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy in studio. We do this every Monday on the program. Take a look at the national political scene, also the local political scene. Dave Lundy, Democrat analyst. Chris Roebling, Republican analyst. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Justin.
It's good to be here.
You look like an hour later than usual.
Sorry. A little freaking.
A little more
facial
hair.
Can I just plug the Union League Club boys and
Wait,
girls
Wait, you're
going to
show
clubs.
Up an hour late and plug?
I got to plug.
Oh, my God.
We just raised a lot of money for the Union League Club boys and girls clubs with Eddie Olczyk, Ron
right,
Rappaport,
yeah, right.
And Dana Buffone accepting an award on behalf of the departed too soon Doug Buffone.
Yeah.
So it's the Ringlardner Awards Dinner, and let's just say there was a lot of good feeling over there.
There you go. Well, so,
but thank you very much for
no problem
pushing us.
This
back.
Is a treat for the.
Don't thank him. He's here all
generation.
Night. You got to thank me, buddy.
Thank you, Lundy. What a reasonable guy you are, except when discussing politics.
All right, let's start. Let's get right to it. Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Wisconsin tomorrow. The showdown. The polls say Bernie Sanders got the win on this one.
Well, the polls are a little close. There was a CBS poll today that came out, showed Bernie up by 2. There's another one up with him up by 7. He'll probably win. I mean, if he can't win Wisconsin, he should just quit right tomorrow night.
You've been wanting him to quit for four months, five months. Come on. Now it's Wisconsin
things.
That has to make him quit.
He must win and win big
he's
or
been
he
winning.
Has no prayer. No, he hasn't. He's won a couple of caucuses.
No, the thing is, David, you got to admit you're misnamed the party because he's been winning all these states. But he's not getting anywhere.
Yeah, because he's winning caucuses in tiny little states. I think I pointed this out last time. Hillary won more delegates out of Florida. She netted more delegates out of Florida than all of these caucuses right. Bernie's won combined.
But a Bernie Sanders follower or someone who voted for Bernie Sanders, even here in the city of Chicago, doesn't care about delegates. They care about the fact that Bernie Sanders has won a couple states, but because of the strange math that we use to elect presidents, no one's paying attention.
Yeah, it's called democracy.
Well, I think people are paying attention, and I think people are hearing his message, so much so that in the month of March, he raised more than $40 million on the internet from, you know, little old ladies in tennis shoes who are deeply red, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all of these kind of socialist backers out there are sending their money into the guy. You got to love that free speech, and you got to love the entire, you know, sort of Citizens United campaign fundraising program, right?
Oh, my God.
That's your pitch for Citizens United? That's great, Chris.
Your pitch for Citizens United
that was
is
great.
That you can
that's a win.
Give money
that's
on the
win.
Internet.
Touche.
Well, touche. Do that
no,
before.
But that's a... But
he has to win.
I mean, look, he doesn't have to win. He just keeps getting
really,
money.
No, really, seriously.
Going.
If he has any prayer whatsoever of
energized.
Winning the nomination, even just winning the pledge, even closing that 260 pledge delegate gap, he needs to win by large numbers. It's
you know,
just a fact.
They said 60, so he's got to win 2/3 of the vote, essentially, moving forward. Like, he has to. I
thought it was like 78%.
Yeah, that's 67%. It's a lot. But and right now, he keeps throwing out superdelegates. You got to change your mind because the populace, they want Bernie. But it's not necessarily true because the vote count, Hillary Clinton is still millions of votes ahead of her.
Hillary Clinton is 2.5 million, has 2.5 million more votes than Bernie. She's got over 1.1 million more than Trump.
Yeah.
So for all those who think that Hillary's really unpopular, she's doing so poorly, I promise you, Bernie would trade places with Hillary's position in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but it does speak to the division out there in the political landscape, whether you're Republican or Democrat. On the Republican side, it's Trump and everybody else. And over here, it's kind of Bernie Sanders and his folks and then everybody else. And on the Democratic side, they've just got Hillary. But with every week, with all of the fundraising and with his ability to win, even if he's winning in states that, you know, David wants to declare inconsequential, then even if that's all going on, he's gaining more and more of a foothold on the convention and more of a foothold, I would say, in the conversation post-selection. You know, I mean, he's not going away. And I think it causes issues for Hillary.
Does Bernie Sanders, I mean, if he doesn't win this nomination, is he a candidate for an independent run?
No. Well, first of all, and this is the same issue that's on the Republican side as on the Democratic side. Yes. Like 2/3 of the states have what are called sore loser rules, which says that if you ran as a major party candidate, you can't come back in that state and run for the same office with a different party or as an independent. So that pretty much kills it for Trump or Bernie Sanders. I don't think that's likely. Look, Bernie wanted to raise some issues. He's done way better than he expected to, way better than they thought they could dream of doing last summer. He'll come to the convention. He'll endorse Hillary. He'll support Hillary. He'll explain to his voters why it is that Trump should scare the bejesus out of them, and they will almost all come and vote for her in the fall.
Dave Lunding, Chris Roebling, let's take a break. We'll get the news tonight, and we'll come back. I got you guys till about 9:30, so we'll continue. Touché!
Touché!
Here on The Download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
Touche.
Touche.
Touche. It's a Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling in studio with me. We're previewing the Wisconsin primary tomorrow. You know, we talked about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, but let's make a transition to the Republican side.
Okay.
No, Chris wants to talk about Hillary and the indictment.
You brought it up first tonight.
You did. You did bring up it first. You're right.
You brought it up. 9-10.
I need like a gong. It's like, dong. All right. So let's talk about this because it really is a delegates game now. There's a lot of moving and shaking. We saw Marco Rubio's going to hold on to his. Trump's making a move to try and get Kasich out.
What happened? That was wild. That was fun.
That's not going to work.
That was fun.
That's not going to work.
So he told Kasich, get the hell out.
Yeah. He says he talked about it at the RNC meeting earlier late last week.
That was, I understand from folks that was bizarro mundo.
Really?
the so-called Trump campaign. You know, I mean, these things, this is pretty wild. I mean, come on. Everybody says politics so staid and stiff and stuffy and boring, predictable.
Well, Donald Trump said today that he could be more presidential, but if he did, 80% of the people wouldn't show up to his rallies.
Right.
He's not going to be presidential for now. But when he gets into the fall campaign, he's also not going to be presidential.
This is a reality TV show, and we're the pigeons. I mean, this is a reality TV show.
Wow.
He owns the rights,
right.
And he's going to package it.
Well,
and it's going to be.
I mean, it became an internet viral hit that one of his staffers, that was the original, like came out and said he didn't have any. He didn't think he was even going to be close. This was just going to be a promotional campaign, and
it would be.
But
a promotional
campaign. I honestly, all kidding aside, I do kind of question that, and I think it's important for us to remember in this very building. You know, he did show up. Mm-hmm. At the Tribune for the editorial board, which is available on the Tribune website, the editorial board interview back in June. And this was really one of his first stops after the announcement and his reference to who the Mexicans were sending over the border. Okay.
Right.
And he already by that moment, I believe he could sense it.
Yeah.
He knew that he was connecting. And what is truly amazing about the campaign, and you don't know if he's done it on purpose or if it's just dumb luck, but it goes on so long you begin to believe it's not just dumb luck. He has anticipated public opinion, and he has jumped ahead of it, whether it was immigration or, I would say, anti-establishment or sort of even his, and I hate to say this, and I think it's lousy campaigning, but the way that he's mocked some of his opponents, like this low energy thing about George W. Bush.
Yeah,
you know, he had a real somebody. Jeff. I don't know if that was Jeff or somebody Jeff. Else. Yeah,
but you know that was brought up this week by conservative talk show hosts in Wisconsin who have come together to boycott Trump, saying he's removed civility from politics, which I find awesome. Awesome oxymoron.
Well, particularly coming
from talk show hosts,
right-wing talk show hosts. Yeah,
but there seems to be this. You know, the people are latching onto this idea that civility is important in politics. And even though we've seen it degraded over the years, what he's doing is 10 times over the line.
Oh yeah, no. We've pole vaulted over the civility line. I mean, look, this is something that, you know, we talk about a lot. You know, Chris and I give each other a lot of grief, and we don't agree on really much of anything politically. But we can do it civilly. You can be civil. You don't need to be insulting. Last night I was on another show with a Trump delegate, and all he can
he's
do,
a delegate?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
all
Lord.
He could do is be as insulting as his candidate.
Oh, my
and I'm like,
goodness
there
sake.
Are options. You don't have to do it this way.
Well, let's talk about the actual delegate dance that's
yes,
happening. Does
yes,
Ted Cruz
okay.
have a – I mean, I know I he think, has a chance, but it, does he have what it
well,
takes
I
to
think,
to win the nomination?
You know, 24 hours from now, we're going to have a much better handle on the answer to that question. And Wisconsin could really signal a – popular in the sense of a voting repudiation of Trump. Now that's possible. I'm not saying right. I think it's maybe even likely at this moment. The polls have tightened, but I think that Cruz has done for a guy who was sort of dismissed 3, 4, 5 months ago as way too far to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a lot sounding a lot the way that people dismissed Reagan in 75 and 76 and in 70
other than the being totally unlikable part
and 79 and then in 80 Reagan wins and Reagan was very likable, but
exactly.
Cruz I know people say he's not, but what the heck. And look who we've got now. In any case, I think Cruz has done a masterful job on the diplomatic front in becoming something of a safe harbor, notwithstanding the extent to which folks in the United States Senate, folks on the campaign trail, I mean, folks who are actually involved at the Cruz level, tend not to like him.
Do moderate Republicans who are more in the center,
yes.
do they can they vote for Ted Cruz?
Yeah, I think that they can. I think that Cruz is the alleged extremism of Cruz is vastly overstated.
Not
I mean, Cruz is a guy who deeply questions the role government plays today and I think argues passionately for an appropriate restrained role for the federal government and an increased role for state governments.
So I want to answer your question yeah. differently than Chris, because I think that the...
As an expert on moderate Republicans.
Absolutely. I'm a lot closer to moderate Republicans than you are, my friend. But so here's the thing. The answer to your question is, can Cruz win? Can he get to 1237
yeah.
between now and the convention? No. But that's not what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is stop Trump from getting to 1237 before the convention. That he might be able to do.
Because then at the convention, you can horse trade and negotiate and somehow right. go out into the back smoke-filled back rooms and come out with a nomination?
What
do you think is going to happen?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, the most fascinating question right now is, let's say Trump doesn't have 1237, which he may or may not have 1237. Let's say he doesn't have 1237. Will they turn to, quote, fresh new face, i.e. Paul Ryan, or must they stay with one of the people who's run for office?
Oh, they can
in
do
which
that.
Case, it's Trump or Cruz. Now, you've heard me say on this show, and I am doubling down on this, the ticket is going to be Trump and Cruz. Because at the end of the day, neither of them are popular within the Republican Party. And the only way they guarantee that they are both on the ticket is if they combine their delegates.
Yeah, I think that's unlikely. I do agree with David that Cruz and a vast phalanx of Republican officialdom, okay, also known as the hated establishment, have now lined up with a shared enemy, and that's Trump.
Right.
And Trump is taking it, if you will, on both sides, from Cruz and from the establishment. And this is part of the diplomatic thing that I think diplomatic success of Cruz's campaign. I think it is intended to prevent. It is first intended to prevent Trump of the 1237. Secondly, it's maybe Cruz can get to 1237. But mathematically, politically, practically, that's not likely. But if you stop Trump on the first ballot, then you've got an opportunity. I also want to say this. A lot of the folks elected, like this guy to whom David was referring a moment ago, a lot of the folks elected as Trump delegates around the country are folks who are utterly outside of the system. And goodness only knows what is going to happen when somebody from the system, okay, actually sits down to talk with them about Trump is gone. Now you've got to vote for Cruz or this or this or this. They're not going to understand that. They're not going to want to hear it.
That's why you have Trump whining about how unfair the Republican Party is being to him, poor Donald. Right. No, you just didn't understand the game.
It's hard to understand that because he's all about winning, but he doesn't know the game.
But it's as if somebody came in off the street, tried to develop a 50-story building in New York and didn't understand the rules. It's exactly the same thing. He just doesn't understand this game.
Would you say it's like Obama negotiating with the Iranians?
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
Hey, the Iranians aren't really nice people, and they're sending all kinds of weapons to Yemen to destabilize our friends, come on. The Saudis.
All right, let me take a quick break.
I thought the Iranians would be nice to me because I am Barack.
With Chris Roebling and
Michelle,
Dave Lundy.
Help me out. Valerie, you told me it would be different.
We'll be back.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right?
Touche. You go right.
Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn action from the movie Dodgeball.
Those guys are great.
Yeah. Touche. They gave us a little touche.
Yeah, really.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio. We're Touche every Monday night here on The Download, talking politics, national and local. I think we should switch. We only have about 5-6 minutes left, so maybe we could talk about – which is hilarious that that's the, all the time we're going to talk about
the beginning of the spring session in Springfield.
Oh. I mean, come on. The first thing I saw that today, and I'm like, good, you know, maybe it's time we're going to get some movement on the budget, but it seems like we're getting nowhere.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
No.
I'm talking about – here's what I'm talking about.
Can you? Yes, there I believe we of, all hey, know hey, you can
let's,
talk.
Let's be honest. Let's be real. The primary was a big...
Let's be honest, let's be real. Okay, hold on, everybody!
The primary was a big defeat for Rauner.
Ooh, okay.
Rauner looks like he's weak. Rauner does not look strong. The vaunted Rauner political machine looks like it can't deliver or that it makes bad judgments about where it's going to deliver, that neither of which are good conclusions to be out there. And then folks in the state house are beginning to think this is all coming down on us. And I can tell you, I don't know how much this has been reported, but I know that state house Republicans are talking to each other about flipping, and not flipping in the sense of, oh, we're going to be Democrats, but flipping in the sense of you. And David may know, cause he does more Springfield stuff. I don't really do any, but as I understand it, it's five or six or seven, whatever the number is. If they sit down and make a deal with Madigan,
Republicans in the House.
Yeah, then if with their votes and the votes that Madigan has that are reliable votes,
right,
then they have the veto-proof majority,
right,
which you don't need in the Senate.
Right,
because
there's 71 Democrats, but there's three or four wild cards, including Ken Duncan, that don't vote right with the majority. So Republicans have to vote for Madigan.
The point here is that these guys, if you represent Macomb, Illinois, and I don't know who does, and I'm not, right, I don't know who the Jane or John or Sally or Dan or whoever it is, and God love them, I'm sure they're great people, but, and it might not even be a Republican, but if you're out there in Macomb, Illinois, if you're down in Carbondale, if you're in Charleston, you got EIU, SIU, WIU, or NIU up in DeKalb,
yeah, right,
you are looking at major malfunctions. And I think that there is what I hear time and time and time again, when I speak with members of the General Assembly, is a total lack of confidence that the governor has got a way out of this thing. He got himself into the cul-de-sac. He's been going around in circles.
He's back on the tour today saying he's
saying
doubling down
he
on the same
stuff he said nine months ago. Madigan has been going around in circles, but Madigan's got a lot of votes and the governor doesn't. And the wheels of government are going to grind to a halt. And then who is going to be blamed?
Seems to be what the bet is right now. Who's going to be blamed in November?
A lot of confidence in Madigan's ability to stick the tail on the elephant and blame the elephant. And that could mean terrible things for Rauner. So it's a very dynamic situation.
Dave, do you see Democrats waiting it out? Or do you see Democrats, like Chris is saying, like making a pact with a couple Republicans and moving forward on new revenue, new taxes, doing something that might be unpopular in political circles but is going to solve the budget crisis?
I find it, well, first of all, I appreciate the Chris's honesty on this, because he's exactly right. The governor has made strategic mistake after strategic mistake, starting with when he decided to, instead of just attacking public sector unions, he decided to attack unions, because there easily could have been a wedge between public sector and private sector unions. But instead, the way he went about it, it drove unions together in a unity that I've not seen. And it was a huge strategic mistake. And every Republican I know says it was a huge strategic mistake. And the Ken Duncan thing, losing by such an enormous number, was just hugely humiliating. I don't care what the governor said about it. But the question is, does he recognize that and will he make changes? So Chris is right. The people who are the Republicans that are representing university towns, and not just university towns, but there's people forget that we had 26 years of consecutive Republican governors of the state. And what that means is there were an awful lot of union, Republican union members in AFSCME, in the government unions. And because of that, there are towns downstate where there's a lot of Republican union members, and they do not like where we're at right now. So what I've heard from Republicans I've talked to,
none of them were loyal to Governor Rauner at all in the primary. They were all
absolutely no question.
They were all for Kirk Dillard, and then they acted. And then the moment after the primary, they acted like, "Who the heck is Kirk Dillard?" Bruce, I love you,
that's,
man.
I mean, that's how you do. That's party unity, right?
No, that's right. But so a lot of Republicans I know think that as things stand today, Madigan has a chance to pick up seats in the fall. And that would just be a total disaster for the governor.
For
I mean, he's what the Duncan race and the McCann race said is that money is not enough if you have a bad strategy and a bad candidate.
Let me say the first strategic error was having no strategy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now have a seat. Let's start. Number one, we're going to have a strategy. Okay. Number one. Number two. And that strategy is going to include messages, and the messages are going to be compelling, and they're going to be ready to move people to do things. And then you're going to have delivery mechanisms, and you're actually going to deliver the messages. There's no strategy. The strategy was, I got my thing, they got their thing. Now we're going in our respective circles in the cul-de-sacs. That's that. Number two, has there been any consistent messaging? I mean, David brought up, I think with some poignancy, this thing about going to Wilmette 4 days before the one-day strike in Chicago. And this indicates that there aren't people in the governor's office who are correlating what is he physically doing. There is a person, and he moves around the state, and then he goes and he talks, he says things. How does that relate to what's going on in the state? Yeah. And there isn't an integration between the actions and the circumstance.
And you can hear the frustration by my friend Chris here with his own party. I think the specific answer to your question is, will there be a deal where you'll have a half a dozen of Republicans joining the Democrats on a whole budget? No, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no reason Democrats are going to take all of the blame for the tax increase. Will there be a deal potentially on the MAP grants for the colleges? Yeah. I think that's likely.
All right. Last question real quick, because we're over time. Tomorrow, predictions for the Wisconsin primary.
Bernie by 5, and I think Cruz by only 1. I think Cruz pulls it out, but only slightly.
Chris?
Tough day for the front runners. Bernie and Cruz win.
There you go. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy. Touche every Monday here on The Download.
Touché.
Guys, thanks for the late night tonight.
Thank you.
Have a great night.